The name of my company is Video Production News, a professional news gathering service. That's how it should be read, and that's how it should be said. I also want to go to the next rung and meet your team and the station manager and the director and the anchors and start developing my own personal relationships. I'd like to start meeting them this morning. You'll take me around, you'll introduce me as the owner and president of Video Production News and remind them of some of my many other stories. I'm not done. I also want to stop our discussion over prices. This will save time. So when I say that a particular number is my lowest price, that's my lowest price. And you can be assured that I arrived at whatever that number is very carefully. Now, when I say that I want these things, I mean that I want them. And I don't want to have to ask again.
Wow, am I feeling good, man. Let me say this now.
Here and now, let's get this straight. Gave it the Latin beat. You know, child, I'm kind of hard to beat. Just commence your feet to skate. Pick up your arms and make them shake. Baby, if you think you're shy, do me a favor, honey, go someplace and hide.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian. And that is Douglas. Welcome to 2015.
I tell you, Douglas, I finally give you your own mic, and you just clap
up. Yeah.
Right? You can't do it, right? Is it nerves? Are you nervous?
We're going to take this podcast even less serious than we normally take. At least I am. Don't know about Douglas. Douglas is not
so,
even
so
talking to us.
We're saying hello to 2015 by finally.
It's not the future, though.
Oh,
I feel like the future,
but it's back to the
I've
future.
Been promised every friggin' movie.
Didn't you enjoy CES? Wasn't CES the future for you?
God damn, I love it.
I've
like
been
Christmas.
Watching so many
It's like
CES
Christmas
things.
After Christmas. I fucking love CES. Oh my god. I love it so much. But we're not here to talk about that.
We are going to talk about our top 10 films of 2014.
Yes.
Because we are the official
arbiters of movies.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, people who are watching awards, which are going to be happening, I think, tomorrow's the Golden Globes.
And then Oscars,
and
like
Oscars are down the line.
Yeah.
And people are watching all these critic announcements. We are the ones who finally get the final word, right, that this is the choice for the best movies of the year.
Mm-hmm. You can choose not to agree. Just know that you're wrong. Yeah, it's 2015. It's time. Isn't it time you guys stop being wrong? Like for 1 year. Just listen to us. Because we're right. We should kick it off our top 10 with Douglas. He's busy counting things.
What's he counting?
I have no idea. I don't even want to.
Do you think it's cheap?
He's counting movies, I guess. Because I guess he didn't see the email that you sent 2 weeks ago.
Did you see the reminder email which you responded to?
Yeah. Reminder. Andrew's like, Damian, respond. Like, hey, whoa. It's 2015, let's calm down. Too early for this. Okay? Okay, sir. Kim Jong Andrew, relax.
No, he's gone.
Let's take it down a notch. All right,
my email was hacked. My email was hacked. He heard you refer to me in that moment, and my email was hacked.
And he went, not on my
thought,
watch.
And he thought that would be a funny way to start over the year.
That would be pretty good.
So, Douglas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you kick off the top 10?
You did. Alright, so my...
Any preamble to your list? Is there anything you want to mention as like a...
Are there 10 movies?
Well, there are 10 movies, and there is no logic as usual.
What?
I have to say, though, I never thought this year would be so good.
Everyone says that every year.
I don't know. Yeah, that's true, but usually for me, right? If I watch my number one, I know it, right?
Okay.
And usually for me, like, I might have 12 movies. I might have 13. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of movies on my list that I just can't fit into the top 10 because, unfortunately, there are only 10 slots in 10.
Are there only 10 slots?
Yeah, there are only 10 slots in 10. So I'm really, really, and what this year taught me was this year wasn't just the year of, like, the great, you know, sort of Douglas movie that I usually look at, you know, and there are a lot of those on there, don't get me wrong, but this is the year where a lot of just, I don't want to say shitty, but just normal, regular person movies are on my list.
Yeah.
You know, and
your list kind of looks like how my list normally looks.
Yeah, yeah. So that was real surprising to me. Right? But to kick it off, a shitty, regular person movie.
Yeah.
But
the movie best for humans.
Shitty, regular person movie. So they have promised me at least 27 or 28 of these.
Yes, they have.
I cannot wait for them to keep going down the street. It is 22 Jump Street.
Ah, that movie's pretty good.
This movie is so good. It's I've watched it a couple of times already since it's come out. It's fantastic.
It's my top 10 is really top 9.
Yeah, because you know what? You know what is, right?
No.
No? Oh,
okay. My number one, I decided was my number one during Christmas when we had people over.
Okay.
But my number 10 is on the list, not by virtue of the goodness of the movie, but by my love for the franchise. And this is The Hobbit. I can't put it anywhere higher because it does, in fairness, it shouldn't be on this list. But when I was making the list, I said, I do the same thing I do every year. I said, which of these movies am I going to watch more than all of these other movies? And this is one of those movies. I'm going to watch The Hobbit forever. I'm going to watch all six of them back to back.
I just want to let you know, Damien, that if 10 years from now, we find out that Peter Jackson is coming back for another Lord of the Rings trilogy of like the Samwise Gamgee trilogy or the Legolas trilogy of any kind, I'm going to murder you. I'm going to call you as the reason for why this happens.
No, for the people who try to say, well, this is just as shitty as those Star Wars movies, you're wrong.
But we already said that to start.
But B, these movies don't have the gravitas as the first set because they cannot. We know what happens in the real part of the movie. This is just preamble to shit that we already know. And he's just making a lot of the backstory and whatnot up, but it's still fun movies. Like, actually, they do what they were supposed
to. The thing that most people are complaining about isn't that, oh, he's not drawing he's stretch. It's that he's taking so much. He's stretching it out, part for financial, which we all know.
Yes.
In such a way that it kind of gets meandering, right? And that is what people are complaining. They're not saying we don't want a Hobbit movie, right? They're not saying that.
Would it have been better as one movie? Of course it would have.
Yeah.
But the people who give him the money said, make it three. And he did.
Yeah. Like, I sit down and
I don't see how, like, what else he could he have done with these three movies outside of making them 1 hour each.
No, yeah. And I agree with you. And what's interesting is, remember last year, right? Both me and Andrew shot on the Smeagol.
On Smaug.
But I actually watched, me and Andrew sat down and we watched the first couple movies before we went to the third one. And can I tell you, it's like a fine wine game.
Yeah.
No, the second movie isn't as bad as I thought.
They wrap you in Lord of the Rings and you feel better.
I still fucking hated it.
They wrap you in Lord of the Rings.
However, I fucking hate that third movie.
That is terrific news.
But I fucking hated the second one. So let's just wait a year. Let's let it, you know, sit down in a barrel somewhere. Just kind of seep in the flavors of the oaks and the orcs and the hobbits.
I will stop liking them when I don't watch all of them back to back. The first day I go, I'm not watching that one. Then I'll come here and tell all of you, guys, think I might have fucked up. But until that day, it's just more Lord of the Rings. And I love it.
My number 10 movie for 2014 goes to Dan Gilroy with The Nightcrawler.
Wow, that's real low.
I came to you guys after that movie came out, and I told you guys a little question mark beside it, going like, I think I love it,
mm-hmm.
not quite certain.
Right.
I'll watch that movie again, guys. That movie is phenomenal. Jesus
Christ, that movie's so good.
Like Jake Gyllenhaal alone in that movie, like. I like how people always talk about lots of the big pop-out scenes, like the time he goes into the house, or the moment that he's talking to Rene Russo
mm-hmm.
at the in the restaurant, or when he starts demanding things at the office. But haven't heard enough people talk about the opening scene in this movie, where you see him cutting wire,
yeah.
And you see the guard come up to him, and just the way that you see him just mentally, you almost can see everything on his face, just mentally process how he's going to deal with this situation that's happening right now. I kind of love it, right?
That movie is spectacular.
Oh,
I was very angry when I watched that movie, because it was yet another movie that Andrew had on his list that I had to give a 4 to. It was upsetting.
You were like that child who was like, I hate you. Oh, it's so good. I hate you.
Goddamn good, that movie. So not fair. Douglas Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Your number 9, please.
Yes, we've gone around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Clearly, I'm going in the wrong direction.
Yes,
I'm waiting for you to...
No, you're
okay,
not.
Cool.
You're
so my number 9...
To your right.
On your left.
But if it's somewhere... Okay,
uh-huh.
Anyway.
Yep.
So... My number 9,
mm-hmm.
which again is just another normal, regular movie,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, was rated R for no reason. I have watched this movie at least 500 times this year,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't happen to me anymore. I don't do that. You're lucky if I watch it twice, right? So we heard about this movie real early. We heard that, you know, this director John Favreau was making some sort of superhero movie that had Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
It had Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Had all sorts of people. And
had
then
Bobby Flay.
Yeah, then we found out
right,
all
superheroes
of a sudden,
like Bobby Flay.
Yeah, it's not a superhero movie. It's actually about a chef. But this was the best.
That's
chef
not
movie.
The code name for the movie.
Yeah, you know, like Project
Le
Chef.
Le Chef.
Exactly, Damien. This
mm-hmm.
movie just
you love it.
I love it.
You've been singing the praises of this movie
all year,
and I've been looking at it going, I think Douglas might be high. But you do love it.
Yes, I do.
And I can respect that. I don't understand. I do not understand. But you do. Like, that. Your affection for that movie made me watch that movie a second time. That is how much Douglas enjoys.
Damien, I'm
I had
not
to
a...
look at it, I went, what the?
My brain isn't allowed to watch movies with John Leguizamo more than once.
Hey, I watched that Mario. Leave John Leguizamo alone.
Like, I'm trying to think of a John Leguizamo movie that I give up.
It was in The Babysitters?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
You like
that
yeah,
one?
I love that movie.
Wow.
Hmm.
Interesting. I remember seeing a trailer 20 years ago when it came out and being like, no, not really.
I saw it and Leguizamo can do a job. He's not spectacular, but he's not terrible. We need to leave, cut that man some slack. It's not his fault.
No, I'm not blaming
his
him.
His agent is to be blamed for chucking him to that Mario. Great men went into that Mario movie and only husk of men came back.
Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, and Dennis Hopper all walked into Mario.
Wow.
And they walked out different people.
Side note, people, one of my favorite, the funniest YouTube video you'll ever watch, if you've ever seen the Mario Brothers movie that we're talking about, go to YouTube and type Dennis Hopper Mario Brothers interview, where Dennis Hopper sits in front of you and tries to
sell Mario
as like a futuristic
right.
dystopian movie on the level of Blade Runner.
Like, when I saw that clip, like, all I could think was, I think he's talking about a different movie. Like, the movie in his head, like, not that he's not pitching the Mario movie, but the movie that he's talking about in his head is a different movie than the movie he shot. I'm just going to pitch them the greatest movie that I can think of, and then they can go watch it on that screen. It's pretty good.
Oh, God.
My number nine is the first superhero movie on my list. It's The Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
No. I saw this movie in the absolute worst conditions.
Yep, it was horrible.
And still loved every second of this movie. All the performances. There are so many stars in the movie that it's a waste of time. Everyone does exactly what they're supposed to do.
You're going
to
get Ryan Gosling?
my favorite scene is when Mr. Norton places his head on can't remember her name.
Emma Stone?
No, not Emma Stone. When they were in the changing room.
Oh, okay.
Oh, in the changing room.
Yeah, when the guy was when Ed Norton finally came onto the set.
Yeah.
And he was naked for a long time. And then he was talking to...
Isn't that Naomi Watts?
I was thinking,
I was going to say that, and then he started talking about that guy, and I'm like, what?
No.
Well, there was a tailor, and then,
And he put his head on her head, and you thought, oh, he's going to say something, you know, special, and he's like, play with my balls. And I'm like, I love this movie now.
You know what upset me about that movie, Damien? And I really like that movie. Was that there was a point, right, just before that happened, mm-hmm. where he was, you know, doing essentially the interview with Michael Keaton, and he sat down at the table, and they were talking, and when they got up, I turned to Andrew, and I said, can we please just stop the movie right here, because right now, this movie is perfect, and if they fuck it up after this, I'm going to be real upset, mm-hmm. right? And they didn't fuck it up, but it definitely went downhill from there.
It didn't live up to it.
Yeah, it didn't.
I think, basically, with that movie, I think any moment Ed Norton isn't in is less so.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I'm not saying they're not good moments. I'm just saying Ed Norton is the moment.
All the moments when his Batman voice is talking to him is...
Oddly enough,
wonderful.
When I was watching that movie, I started to think of your when we were talking about the Babadook.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, this is the version of the Babadook Damien wanted, because it switched from objective to subjective.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what it is. Oh, it's so crazy. I love everything about this movie. I like how they use the camera. For a long time, like, I wasn't paying attention to it when the movie started. And then I started to realize, oh, wait, the camera is literally, like, they're not cutting the movie. There are no transition scenes. The camera is just following everything.
Yeah, well, nothing
and then
obvious,
they're,
yeah.
Right, and then they're just moving things
around. If you pay attention like crazy people like us, we'll notice the moments where obviously they had to cut. And they did, like, some digital transitioning to make sure it looked close enough.
Right. So they're clearly cutting them. It's not, like, one single shot, but it's made
but
to look like
exactly
the camera.
Trying to
so do. Even when they're progressing time and the camera is just panning to something else.
Yeah.
This movie, everything about this movie... It's spectacular. I love... Holy shit, this movie. I can't wait to watch it properly.
My number nine movie, it won't shock any of you guys,
mm-hmm.
comes from the land of Iran. it's
Iran.
It's by the director Anna Lily Amirpour. I hope I'm not screwing up that name.
100% are.
And it's the movie A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Douglas knows this movie. I've talked to him about it. Damon is nodding his head. I absolutely adore this movie.
He's jumping up and down. Like, it's the best movie they've ever seen.
It is an Iranian movie set in a suburban town, which, first of all, it was interesting to me because I think this is the first movie from there that I'm seeing where it kind of looks like it could be like a regular town that you would see in any American movie.
Right, you kind of forget that.
So what you're saying
like
to me
there.
Exactly what you're saying to me then is that in your mind, Iran is just one big pile of rubble.
Right,
is that what you're saying to me, Andrew?
And Russia is snow covered concrete. There's no grass there.
No, snow covered mountains.
I'm sorry. That's Serbia.
What's Siberia in this legend? Alright.
Just hills with snow.
This movie is perfect. It's one of those movies, and there's another movie which I know I'm almost intentionally leaving off my list because it's a movie I haven't seen for like over a year, which follows the same path of being tonally perfect in how to do this like really calm vampire movie where it lies between a word, and I don't want to say like in actionness, but like in idea wise, between Let the Right One In and Only Lovers Left Alive. As to the kind of vampire movie it is, it's very calm, it's in black and white. The soundtrack is amazing. Douglas will love that about it when he eventually sees it. And it's just, it at its heart, it's a strange love story between vampire and her supposed prey. Because most of the time when you're seeing her, you see her obviously at night outside. Sometimes you see her on like a skateboard and she's just kind of like gliding across the street.
So it's like True Blood.
She has this long, long garb. And it's a really cool movie. I really enjoyed it.
Speaking of soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
Damien, back to your movie, Birdman.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I didn't bring that up because it's too obvious.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew.
Can't wait.
So, yeah, my number 8, mm-hmm. right? And so, this guy's awesome, right? This guy's so awesome that he had like, how many movies did he have this year? Like 20? And they're all good? I don't know. So Jake Gyllenhaal.
Hillenule.
He was in this movie. This movie about a spider.
Along Came a Spider?
Yes, that's the one. He was in a movie called Enemy. And this movie
the
is
the two
just,
best Jake Gyllenhaal performances.
It's just great. And you know, it's kinda like it's tailor made for me, right? I have no clue what the movie is trying to say. I have no clue what happened in that movie. At the end there's kind of like, I don't even want to call it a twist, but there's just kind of like a fuck
thing.
You moment at the end of this movie.
Fair enough.
Where even if you think you're following, even if you say, okay, I will accept all the foolishness or I understand all the foolishness, all of a sudden, it's just like, what?
No.
And as soon as that movie finished, my finger twitched to the play button, to the replay button. Like, I just wanted to keep going.
Into cities, like.
Yeah, this movie is just so good. And I can't recommend it more. And Gyllenhaal, as much as I loved him before, as much as I've been following him, even since, I call it day one, I don't know if it was, with Donnie Darko.
Bubble
like,
Boy.
Like, yeah. I heard the Matthews on Mamo said, you know, and I wondered when they said this. They're like, a Nightcrawler proves that he's a star. And I was like, but that's such a weird movie. Mm-hmm. But truth of the matter is, these two movies, they kind of...
Douglas.
What kind of star before?
Movie.
No, yeah, I agree, but
like he can lead a movie.
Yeah.
Like he's a star in the way that like if you name him along with three other actors, you're like, oh, that's an addition, right?
Yeah.
But if like Nightcrawler, he is the reason to go to that movie.
Exactly. He can you can put him in a movie like say, well, even worse than Buried. You could have him alone on a screen on the set that Lars von Trier used for Dogville with nobody else.
And have him do it.
And have him just talk.
That's pretty.
And that would be the best movie of the year. Right? And they're right. This guy, there's just something special about him.
I mean, ever since we saw him in that Prince of Persia movie, I just assumed that the whole world,
that
was the point where the whole world accepted, oh yeah, he can lead a movie.
What's
I don't
funny
know
is there's
what
so
happened.
Many people that hate him.
Yeah, a lot of people hate the movie. I never saw him as anything but a leading man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm not saying that you're wrong and that
mm-hmm.
they're not people who are now seeing him as, mm-hmm. oh, he can lead a move, carry a movie on his own.
Mm-hmm.
But I just assumed that everyone thought that. So that is kind of, like when you said that, that was the one thing that threw me off. But yeah, I saw Enemy. I didn't like it anywhere near as much as his other movie.
Yeah.
For most of what you said, a movie falls apart and doesn't make any sense. But I enjoyed Enemy. My number 8 is The Dawn. Sorry, it's not the. It is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Well,
the Apes of the Dawn.
I think you're missing something there. Isn't there a rise?
There's
a fall,
rise, a fall, a collapse.
And I'm pretty sure there's an earthquake in there too.
Fairly certain. The first movie was a surprise. we all assumed it would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Because James Franco was in it. And he's pretty in it much. With monkeys.
Pretty much. Right?
When James Franco is in a movie, 90% of the time,
no.
you get garbage.
Let me tell you how it works.
There's magic time.
It's real simple. There is no magic time. When James Franco is in a movie, you have to ask another question. Right?
Did he have anything to do with
No. It's a simple question. Is Seth Rogen also in that movie? No, if the answer is yes, more than likely you're okay.
I actually disagree with that statement.
Well, you said interview sucks. I haven't watched it.
Right.
But so, outside of that, what is there? Pineapple Express is awesome. The what's the other one? This is the End is fantastic.
127
What else is there?
It's spectacular.
No. Yeah, and no. What I'm saying is,
with the girls.
What
the percentage is.
No.
And the movie with the girls. What the hell is it?
Spring Breakers is a terrible movie.
First of all, that's terrible. He was great.
He is
great. Yeah, no. But hold on. I'm just saying that you have to ask a series of questions.
Right.
And that's the first question you ask. Mm-hmm. And if that the answer is yes, you're pretty okay.
Okay.
Right?
And if the answer is no, then it's time for you to
panic. It's like, yeah, exactly. You know, there is a small window where maybe something can work out.
Everybody panic. So the first movie, shooting at him, and I just assumed it would have been terrible. And I saw it and I went, this is way better than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
And so when they announced the second one, with the director and whatnot, and I saw the cast, I went, well, that Felicity chick is in it, and so she's not in anything good. But this, I'm pretty sure she won't have a big role. So let's see what they do here. And
don't forget Chicago Code.
And so I started watching the movie. And it is a disgrace to the movie's goodness that it is number 8 on the list. It deserves to be higher. This movie is for a movie that has talking apes in it, there I don't see how they're going to make a better one than this one. This is it.
I'm telling you here.
They've maxed it out.
You see
in the next one you will see an ape flying a jet with a bazooka hand.
Andrew,
that will make
Andrew,
it worse.
No. I have the formula.
Right.
Okay?
To wreck
the formula
this movie?
Not to wreck this movie.
Get Chris, call Chris Nolan.
No. Here's how you do it. You get
Steven Spielberg.
That's
you get dinosaurs.
you get
a starfighter, and we make this movie. I don't see how they're going to make this.
Do a barrel roll.
Right. If you make Star Fox, I'm going to kill everybody that I did it. I'm going to jihad the shit out of this.
Star Fox.
I'm going to join a new religion and kill myself. And all of them. It's too good, actually. Like, I know they're making another one, and it scares the hell out of me, because there's just no way. There's no way they are making it any better than this.
Do a barrel roll.
It's so, stop it. It's so good. Everything
someone,
about
someone
it.
Reminded me the other day that there's going to be a new Star Fox game happening.
Yeah, of course there is. Are you going to buy a Nintendo?
I just remember my fond memories of Star Fox 64, and that's where
I want to remind myself of Star Fox 64, I just type "do a barrel roll" in Google and watch Google scenario for no reason. Thank you, Google. You are all idiots like myself.
Andrew okay, Robinson. My number 8.
Yes.
It's a filmmaker who I guess I can finally put into the category of I think I love.
Mm-hmm.
Alfonso
Cuarón.
This is his third feature film, and he's three for three for me. And it is Bennett Miller with Foxcatcher. The thing about this movie that I love is that when it gets going, everyone walks in going, Steve Carell is the reason we're watching this movie, right? Steve Carell put on like a crazy tooth thing, and it looks ridiculous, but he does this really dark, really weird character. And that is true, he does. And it's not the kind of character you're thinking he is walking into the movie. But that doesn't make him any less interesting. But more to the point, what I truly loved about this movie was Ruffalo and Channing Tatum. Their relationship in this movie, because they're the two brothers. Ruffalo is a senior, and you'll see him wrestle, but he's more of like a coach kind of role. Mm-hmm. And Tatum is just like the out-and-out athlete who, you can see he does dumb things, but more or less, like
he just has this connection with Ruffalo, and when they're together on, like, it's almost intentionally done such that when they're not together, everything goes wrong. In, like, in the way we all know as sports lovers, right? It's like that one day that Rooney decides he doesn't want to touch the ball, right?
When Ferguson decided, I'm leaving, man. It's all the way wrong.
And it's kind of fantastic. It's spectacular. It visually looks great. And if you ever wanted characters to just kind of just feel shitty for, because between them doing dumb things and being like messed up people, Foxcatcher has it in spades.
You said it might be a Venture movie?
I don't think I went that far.
Boo!
Okay, nice. So my number
10. Seven.
I have to count.
That is very sad.
I have line number.
When I do my like counting and my, you know, calculation, I have to call myself one. And then use my fingers, two, right, three, four.
How else do you call? There are not.
Yeah.
But so, what if you carry the five?
Then you call yourself the number.
Then no.
And then add five.
No. If I what carry is, the what five, are you talking about? No. To carry the five, I have to get somebody else's hand. Right.
Or then you incorporate a calculator. If it's too big a number, if I have to carry anything, then my poor brain, I can't hold that high. What are you talking about? So I got invented calculator.
So, okay. This year, could we say it was the year of the musical?
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Into the Woods.
Okay.
We've got fucking... Oh, have you watched this show? I didn't even understand what it was. Called Galavant. Mm-mm. Oh, I saw the first episode and the beginning came up, but whatever. That's just...
It's a musical TV show.
It's a musical TV show.
It's horror. So it's like Glee.
It's horror. No, it's not. It's worse.
I found out today that Glee is still on air.
Really?
Of course not. I didn't know it was. I thought it was off air.
Probably bigger than ever.
But speaking of musicals, mm-hmm. there is this movie.
Uh-huh. Into the Woods.
Into the Woods. It's just so great.
Is this where Douglas admits his love for Into the Woods?
No, that's not happening.
That'd be hilarious.
And it follows a band. Mm-hmm. Kind of a strange band.
You cannot be talking about Frank.
Yes, I can.
At seven? Oh my god.
Is it too low? I feel like it's too low, but again, this year was just so good.
Did you watch the same movie?
He likes that movie.
I really like Frank.
Not that much.
First of all, there's music.
Fine.
Second of all, that music is good.
Final song.
Third of all, is that that final song.
Okay.
Fourth of all, alright, so ever since I watched a movie by the name of About Time, mm-hmm. I've got kind of a soft spot for this guy by the name of Domhnall Gleeson.
Okay.
And he's also in this movie.
Fair enough.
Right? And there are also other people.
Yes.
But, you know, there's Fast Bottom and there's...
There's a lot of people that we love.
Exactly.
Is it really Fast Bottom? You don't see him. They could just be lying to you, Douglas.
I'll accept that lie.
And you know, this is again, it's kind of tailored for me. Right. It's very indie, and it has a lot of indie shenanigans in it. And that's all I really need in a movie.
And Douglas just wants to go South by Southwest.
Yes, I do. That would be great. But this movie is just—it's just cool, you know.
I like it. I just didn't think it would appear on anyone top 10. My number 7, and you can tell that a lot of things happened this year. Because my favorite director put out a movie this year, and it is not in my top 5. Interstellar came out, and it is number 7.
I feel more than The Hobbit. This is the one you'd be forcing in, where you're like, I can't name a top 10 without Nolan.
This was in there. This I just didn't think. I just assumed Chris Nolan makes a movie, it would be higher. It could not go any higher than this. All the movies I have above this are way better than this movie. But I've seen this movie 1.9 times. I love it.
You love the 0.9?
I love all 1.9 times of it. It's more Chris Nolan. There's things in the third act that people clearly want nothing to do with. I don't care about those people. I enjoy up to the final shots of that movie. Everything about that movie, I think, is spectacular.
It's the intro to Civ 6.
Dear God, please make it be the intro to Civ 6. Yeah, we don't have to talk about Interstellar. You've either seen it or you're never going to see it. So, yeah.
My number 6 mm-hmm. comes with handmade miniatures. It comes with mustaches. It comes with bellboys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Grand Budapest Hotel. I adore this movie.
I'm frightened that it is at number 7.
Yeah.
It means I'm going to have to do a lot of shouting at Andrew towards his number 1.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Just numbers. For you?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yes, guys. Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Yeah. Movie's ridiculous.
And the weird part is it wasn't until like around the third time I watched this movie that I realized what made me really love it, right? I mean, there's all the Wes Anderson stuff in it mm-hmm. and all of the cute shit, all of the funny visual gags. But more to the point, Wes Anderson finally made a true to form madcap caper mystery movie where it's just all about running all over the places. Someone has a gun and there's...
It's the thing you thought you'd have made
by now.
100 million times. Like, oh, all his movies is this exact movie. If someone said, like, when I watch a movie, at the end, if there was another director's name, we'd have sued him for plagiarism. That's not your movie, sir. Please walk over and hand this movie back
yeah.
to where you got it from.
Can I tell you, I can't wait for his Star Wars movie to come.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, the trailer. Put us, like, that is the reason, big and serious, that is the reason why I want to watch Star Wars. Seeing that trailer, I am not even... When the real trailer came out, I went, what? Guess we're doing this, because Disney said so. But when they put out the trailer, I went, you fuckers. I know, I'm actually excited to see a Star Wars movie, which is crazy. But
feels like a special moment.
Grand Budapest is magic. It's so good. So goddamn good.
Okay.
Douglas Robbins.
So, where are we at now? Number six. So, my number six. So, this really should not be on anybody's top 10.
Okay.
Right?
But it's there.
But it's there.
Into the woods. Exodus.
So, there's something that you guys should know already. There's something that the internet who's listening to this should know about me, right? It's one thing to say that there are, you know, regular movies that I like,
mm-hmm.
right? And that I enjoy so much that I can put it in the top 10. But if you want to do one better, right? Don't just make a regular movie that Douglas would like. You make a movie that makes fun of regular movies. That I would probably like in the first place anyway. Right? And this movie, at least for me, kind of did that. Right? This movie...
You already said 22 Drum Street, you understand?
Yeah, I know. This movie, it's just so good. It's just dumb. And it's... Essentially what it does is... You know, some people might not even say, I'm thinking about it, I wonder if they actually meant to make fun of things, or if it's just that I watched it and saw the ridiculousness.
Saw what you
wanted,
right?
Right? Exactly. And this movie is The Guest, directed by the guy that directed by the guy that also did You're Next, right? This movie, it's just, it goes so ridiculous into the sort of grindhouse action ridiculousness. That there's no way he's not making fun of these things.
You have to spend a lot of time going, what is even happening?
Exactly, right? And that's why I understand, because I've seen some real bad reviews out there for this movie. And I know why, because they didn't see what I saw.
Right? I love The Guest.
They saw a different movie.
They saw that movie without the jokes.
Right.
Right, and they're just
and
like,
okay.
Why does this make sense? Because it doesn't.
Oh, so this is a movie I definitely have to watch before next week.
Then. Yeah.
Okay. Like we sat down, well, because you fell asleep. I sat down watching You're Next again last night.
Yeah.
And I've seen The Guest twice this year. I'm kind of happy that I saw Your Next again, because Your Next was a movie that I loved when I saw it, and it's still great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But The Guest is definitely an improvement
so much better,
In like how Wingard is dealing with like going deep into genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to see that. When I saw this movie, I lost my mind because I immediately saw the double feature for this movie, and I came on the podcast and I said it to you guys. And Andrew asked the question if I would have stayed at the end. And I said, of course, that is the wife that I want. And when I was making the list, when I realized that it couldn't hit top five, I got very sad and I immediately called bullshit on my own list. Gone Girl is number six, and that is impossible. I don't know what has happened to this list, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because Gone Girl is not five. Or one. Like, there's nothing up there. It is outside of my top five. And it is crazy. Because I have seen this movie. In the small window that this movie has been out, I've seen it about five times. And I've seen it in double feature format about four out of that five times. I absolutely 100% love everything about this movie. So, even Tyler Perry, which brings a tear to my eye.
So Damien, is it sad that that movie is not even on my list?
No, it is not.
Because I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I love that movie the way it sounds like you love that movie. Yet it's not on my top. It's not on my list.
There are some things that aren't on my list that will surprise all of you.
So my number, where are we?
Six. You're number six.
It's already been mentioned. Mm-hmm. It involves a man with a bird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many things about this movie, and I think I was talking to Jack the other day, and we were talking about this movie, and the one thing I mentioned to him, like, it feels like a movie which I don't love enough yet, right? It feels like a movie that I feel like I'm going to love more and more the more
when
I go into it,
properly,
right? And it's not just about that, right? Just like, just being able to live in the world, because, like, the filmmaking, like, I almost, when you talked about the continuous camera, which I loved. I mean, it was something I was looking for from the get-go because I'd heard about it. And it almost feels like my emotion towards that felt equivalent to The Hobbit Part 3, where it started out where I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then somewhere in the halfway mark, I'm like, I'm not sure whether I still like it or not. But it's still something that I was enjoying, like, in the moment, even to the point where it actually cuts, like, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually get a proper cut.
Yeah.
And there's so many things about that movie I love, but at the same time, there's so many things that I question about it. There's so many, like, there's actually a column I started writing the other day based on the movie, about this idea of whether criticism can be art, because it has a lot of beefs with critics, right? And a lot of things to say about artists, and I tend to agree with most of it. And I think when I hear that argument, I remember something that Rian Johnson said about criticism, which I think is kind of valuable. Which is that criticism isn't for artists. Criticism is for audiences. Criticism are for people who are trying to decide, should I, shouldn't I,
mm-hmm.
right? An artist who spent 3 years of his life working on a piece of work shouldn't be looking at any form of criticism, right? He should know what he did and that's it, right? He shouldn't be reading, oh, I didn't get that bit. And it's kind of like that scene in Annie Hall where they're in the movie theater line and Woody Allen is complaining that this guy in front of him is being loud about his comments, where he's sounding very, very high art criticism, where he's like, I thought the mise-en-scene in that was very weird. And he's just, and then he actually brings out the artist that he's talking about, and the artist talks to him, is like, you don't understand my work. And I'm like, that's really not the point there, right? But it doesn't make it any less interesting. And I adore the movie. There's so much it has to say about movies we're all loving, all of these tent poles. I love the moment where early in the movie, he's looking for that actor to replace,
mm-hmm.
and he starts throwing out names. And then the response from Zach Galifianakis, he's in that franchise. He's in that franchise, right? He's an Avenger. He's he's in Hunger Games, right?
Oh, God. I shit all over Iron Man. I smile so hard.
I love this movie, and I can't wait to love it more.
Yeah.
It's the thing that I have to say about this movie. And once again, Ed Norton. I love Ed Norton in this movie.
4K Blu-rays, guys. Let's get ready to buy all this shit again.
Yep.
Douglas, okay, you're number five.
So, as with most of my top five lists, the bottom five, we can argue about, right? Mm-hmm. These are, some of these are guilty pleasures. Well, actually, none of them are really guilty anymore. Mm-hmm. Chef is kind of guilty for me.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, yeah, right?
You admit your guilt.
Exactly,
we can,
right?
We can don't hang him, right?
Some of them are like debatable. Mm-hmm. If you argue with me long enough, maybe I'll pull it down or take it off, right?
Stop talking to me. But, do what you ask.
Exactly. But these top five, they're just...
They're nailed in.
Oh. The only thing that I have to say is that depending on the day, the positions mm-hmm. might be different. Except for the number... No, yeah, I know. But except for the number one, right?
You're saying that this list is arbitrary? Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm
saying.
These
arbitrary lists are arbitrary.
But each of these movies were just special, right? And we're going to start off... And each of them, I'm going to go a little bit further. It's not that on a different day I'd change the numbering. What it is I wish I didn't have to number them. They're like my children.
I understand.
That's what I meant to say.
I understand.
So you don't have children
because all parents lie.
Exactly.
About
them. Yeah. I do have a favorite though. So yeah.
All parents number.
You just said don't tell the favorite. Right. You just don't tell the child.
Exactly. I'm about to tell the favorite.
No matter how much numbers they have, they know in order which one.
So all right. The first of the five, or the first of the four that isn't the best.
The first of the ones.
The first, yeah, exactly. No, not the first of the ones. There is only one.
The first
one.
Of the twos.
The first of the twos.
Oh, 2 part 4.
Exactly, 2 part 4.
2D.
Is a movie that kind of knocked me off on my feet because it came out of nowhere. And a lot of people were talking about it, a lot of people loved it. But
listen to the internet.
Exactly, and it was a kind of movie where I was like, I understand why you people like this movie, and I'm not into that. I watched it, and I was like, guys, sorry. I done screwed up. And it stars this lady that I never thought I'd think of as highly as I do now. The first time I saw her, I remember, was on a shitty show that you made me watch, starring Don Cheadle.
Of course.
With House of Lies.
God damn right.
That lady's name is Jenny Slate, and this movie is Obvious Child.
Oh, wow.
I love this movie to death.
Is that I don't know that movie,
no,
or
I
disagree?
Seen it. When he said it, I saw the pink poster with her looking up into space, and then I remember sitting down and watching half that movie, and I went, I can't do this anymore.
Wow. Well, that's how I thought I would feel, right? But no, this movie
is just great. Maybe it ends spectacularly, but halfway through that movie...
No, Damien, as in from like day one. So, yeah.
It's mildly amusing.
Or minute one.
I want to watch that movie again.
Ooh, sounds like I'm just like, yeah, I don't know.
No, it's not bad. I don't think it's a bad movie. Maybe I wasn't in the right frame of mind or whatever, but nothing about it grabbed me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I enjoy her in that TV show that you don't like, that I enjoy.
Married.
Oh, that one you
mean.
She's
married. She's not You're the Worst.
Yeah. I thought he was going to talk about House of Lies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that one.
I've watched every episode.
No, I Douglas.
I enjoy
you and
it.
I feel the same way about that movie, about that TV show. We're in that group. We've talked about this.
All right.
It is not good. I'm never going to stop watching it.
Absolutely.
I saw her in it and... Like, she wasn't the character she plays in House of Lies, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, like, there was just nothing in there that kept me watching it. And so I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is very surprising that you have it at number 5. But I haven't seen all of it, so I shouldn't really say anything disparaging about a movie I haven't seen today.
But you will, because
you're Damien.
That's you, you're Damien.
Sure. My number 5 has already been talked about. Someone had it really low on their list, and they're going to hell for saying it's Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is spectacular.
Okay.
It doesn't deserve to be 5. It should be higher.
Yeah, it really should be.
I went into this movie and knowing nothing. I knew Jake Gyllenhaal, and I went, all right, fine, because I like him. And then I sat down and watched the movie and was just... like completely floored. It's so good. And we said all of the things that we love about the movie. It's spectacular. Everyone should watch it. It saddens me that more people won't. And it really saddens me that I had people over my house that could not leave under fear of death and still couldn't get any of them. Just based on the name and the poster, none of them were willing to give that movie the time. I'm like, guys, we have to watch this. Before you leave, you have to see this movie. And I just kept looking at it. And my mother went, is this some kind of alien movie? I'm like, stop it. And then someone else asked some other question. Like, all right, is it an action movie? No, it's not an action movie. What type of movie is it?
No.
Like, can here's you guys just you, sit down for like 10 seconds movie. And watch this movie?
Here's how you sell this movie. They ask you if it's an action movie. You mm-hmm. say, there are a bunch of car chases in that movie. And then they might take that for a
The problem with that is the movie doesn't start. Like the movie doesn't have a strong enough start
yeah.
that I could lie to them long enough for them to realize that they like the movie. And I was like, guys, just trust me. And they threw Gone Girl in my face. And I went,
they didn't like Gone Girl?
Everyone looked at me like I was out of my fucking mind. They're like, no, we trusted you with Gone Girl. We don't want any part of this. And you know what? Fuck all of you people. And get out of my house. I'm not playing any more movies for you guys. Watch whatever the fuck you want to watch. Nightcrawler is spectacular. And it is my number 5.
My number 5 is a movie which we've talked about on this podcast previously. I made you all watch it. And we had like a very weird, interesting conversation about it because it's a very weird, interesting movie. And it's Jonathan Glazer's Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson seducing young men into her weird, oil-pitted trap thing. The movie's strange. The movie's odd. But more to the point, it's a movie that I love because months after, I'm still thinking about it, and it's a movie that makes me, like, out of all of the movies on my list, out of all the movies I can remember watching this year, it's a movie that I feel is most human. It's most considering for its case. Like, if I was to say, here is a movie that makes its case for humanity, a movie that says we might be worth saving out of all of the shit that we've done, because we've done lots of shit. I think this is a movie which does a pretty good job of making that case.
Look at what he went through to save one person.
Imagine if he had to save the world. Okay. What would he do?
How many people would you kill to save
to save one person. What is their life worth? All of these oriental-looking people is what it's worth. Remember when I said, if Andrew has Grand Budapest this high, I'm going to have to shout at him.
Yep.
It didn't even take him one more pick.
Yep.
You already started.
Yep.
I'm not even going to bother. Douglas, what is your number 4?
Speaking of, number 4 is The Great, The Colorful, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Thank you.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
It's great.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
I go to sleep with all of my friends.
You should stop that. You're meant to catch a nasty virus if you keep that up. My number 4 is The Captain, it is just Captain America, The Winter Soldier. It is the best Marvel movie for the year.
Andrew, just press pause.
Yeah.
Listen, we can edit that out. So anything else would be better.
All right, let me explain. It is the best comic book movie to come out this year.
That is absolutely
incorrect. It is 100% the best comic book movie that came out this year.
There was a Groot.
Better than a Groot. It is better than all of the others. Whatever it is. It is like, it is the best. If we take the Batman movies out of it, I would put this ahead of even the X-Men movies. That is how much I like this movie. This is incredible. Any flaw that I can find with this movie is so small and so niggling that I wouldn't even listen to it. I'd fight to keep this movie at number 4.
You realize that Quicksilver was in the X-Men movie,
I understand that. And it's not better than Captain America.
You realize Captain America was in this movie.
I understand that too. And I hate the... Because this movie is so good, I have deleted the first Captain America. That is how much I don't want to remember that first one.
I remember when Marvel announced that they were doing a Captain America movie and Damian came here and was saying that he hates Captain America because he thought it was forever dumb that his weapon was a shield.
Yeah. Oh, look. I'm like, might as well give him a slingshot. Hey, look. My super weapons are dingy. Like, what are you people talking about?
I just like to say that I love this moment in time where I realize Damian can change.
There's a point where he takes down this flying ship thing and then he lands and the shield is there. Damian. And they don't even pause on it. They're like, Damian. Yeah, that is the coolest thing you've ever seen. We're moving on because we have shit to do in this movie.
Damian, wait. Andrew, pause a second. Yeah. Let's just start over the podcast. Right. This is the type of movie you put in the bottom.
Okay,
please.
No.
Please, at least
tell me. I like it more. No. I am being very serious. For the movies that I'm going to watch trillions of times, this is clearly what... Like, everything on this list is movies that I'm going to watch a lot. And with the exception of my number one, all these movies, I have ranked based on how much I think I'm going to watch them in the future. That is how I've ordered my...
I'm not certain, but I
except think... Except on the number one. The number one is the only one that I'm going to watch less than a lot of these movies.
I think I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy more, but it's very close as to... It's either that one or Guardians of the Galaxy that I've seen the most this year. Like, just watching over and over.
It's...
Because it's a movie I can easily put on and just enjoy. Like,
it's so much fun. Yeah, there's just nothing... There's nothing... Like, even Avengers that we all love. The reason I love Avengers is because there's the 1 hour end scene... It is just nonsense towards the end. Because the first part of that movie is absolutely throwaway. But when they start their Avengering, that is when that movie takes off.
When they avenge.
This movie, he jumps out of a plane 10 seconds after it says Captain America. And the movie just runs nonstop towards the end. Right? They made an action scene with Nick Fury. Right? And a talking car. A fucking course movie is number four. Are you serious? It is my number four and I love it. Okay. Andrew Robbins.
Andrew. How long has he been talking? Has he been talking long enough for you to do the thing?
Do the thing.
Has he said enough words so that you can just
edit
switch them around?
Yeah, just edit them around. Right? 10,
are
9,
you pulling the,
8,
the Jack
7,
Jewel with this guy?
6, 5. So now you can put it in there. My number, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, is Captain America.
All of this in so that people hear the nonsense we do.
Captain America.
I absolutely want to leave this.
If you edit any of this out, I'm going to strangle you. So Captain America.
Where are we? Number four? Number four we're at?
Yes.
My number four is a movie we recently saw. It's an Australian movie. It's directed by Jennifer Kent. And it's The Babadook.
I wish that there was an enemy in the Shadow of Mordor called Babadook. And I've jumped up and down like an idiot. Because they chant the name when he comes in.
Oh, yeah?
I just want to say, Babadook. Babadook.
Oh, you hated that movie, though.
I don't like that movie at all. I just want that name in the game. Not a fan of that.
The movie's amazing. I love not just the ideas behind it, the way that they play horror on the idea of this woman under grief, under stress, and all of these other things. But I just love the design of it. I love the look of it.
Yes.
I love
the monsters.
I love
so
the potential creepy. Idea of reading this book to my cousins. It's a movie, like, as I said, like, there were people who were talking to me and they were like, I haven't seen a great horror movie this year. And I'm like, why haven't you watched The Babadook?
Because it's not horror.
And it's the horror movie of 2014 that will keep horror people loving horror movies.
You know, I can't argue that. I really do like that movie.
I don't know.
But I do think, right, and we spoke about this when we watched the movie, I do think that a movie would have been like 100 times better if in the end she was eating out of the bowl.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
But
they just told me.
They just told you officially.
Officially.
So, number four? Mm. No, number three.
Number three.
Number three! Guys, Jake is Jake Gyllenhaal is a good actor.
He did a thing.
He did a couple of things.
He did the thing.
He did the thing.
Is this the third one?
He crawls in knives.
Yes.
Right? And he's good at it. Spectacular. He's horrible. He's good at it.
He's so bad.
Nightcrawler is my number three. Love that movie.
Incredible. This movie is a movie I know will not be on any of your list because all of you looked at me when I said I love this movie like, Damon, are you certain you didn't watch another movie? This movie is the movie I've seen most this year.
Oh, Chef. I love that movie.
Tom Cruise is in it.
Oh, Damien, really? Damien. Anthropasis. Damien. These are the movies that need to be in the bottom half of your list.
Right. So I'm doing it in reverse order. Yeah. My list is in reverse order. You're going to be so angry with my number one.
Oh my god.
Edge of Tomorrow. Might be my... It is not the best movie of the year.
I have to tell
it
you.
It might be my favorite movie of the
year. I watched like the first half. Not quite half. First quarter of that movie the other day. Way better than I remember. But then again, that was a piece with Bill Paxton. And I love Bill Paxton.
He's in
movie.
It all through. And he's the same person.
Yeah.
And it...
Like the aliens, not dead.
Jesus Christ, this movie is so fucking good. It is it is like what I've been doing when I was making the list is looking at a lot of people's top 10s, and it is on so many top 10 lists littered all over the internet. And you too have just looked at me like I've lost my friggin' mind. The only person in this house that agrees with me is a mad person. You're all about that. The fact that he agrees with me scares me. Because it means me and these other critics, we've seen something that might not be in the movie. It is entirely possible that I've watched this movie and saw a thing and loved a thing that no one else will see when they watch it. Everyone just sees this shitty movie that is kind of okay, that has aliens. Which is what I think you guys have seen.
Pretty much.
Holy shit. Do I love this? God, I love this movie. It is so friggin' good. And that is why it's, man. Like, everyone should at least see it. In the off chance that you saw the movie that I saw, everyone should see this movie. Because it is spectacular. Absolutely. Like, if I had to choose between this and Groundhog's Day, as much as this pains me to say,
you'd choose Groundhog's
Day. I'm watching this movie. I'm taking this. This replaces Groundhog's Day for me. That is how good I think this movie is.
That's going to cost you.
That's my wallet. Can you please leave my wallet alone? And you notice how little money's in it. There's not much for you to say.
Right, it's me.
Yes.
My number three. This is the one that I kind of fought over because, like, between my number three and my number two, like, I don't know, like, any day it could change. It's a movie we recently saw, and just kind of snuck into my list, and it's, like, I'd done up my top 10 list, like, a week ago. I posted it on the site, and we watched this movie, like, a few days after, and I went, fuck that list, this movie needs to be in there.
Turns out that list was wrong.
As Douglas puts this movie, and I think he puts it best, it is a musical revenge movie, in which... J.K. Simmons versus Miles Teller on the drums in Whiplash. This movie is painfully amazing. There is, I wrote about it on the site, there's the great characters in there, there's the great music. Like Damien, you don't like jazz that much, but the drums in this movie is just amazing. If you want to talk about Inarritu's drums,
I'm going to watch this movie.
This movie is amazing with this music.
There's a way to watch it properly.
I love the character of J.K. Simmons as he's just murdering everyone in this movie, like, minute by minute. Like, even the soft moments where he changes away to where what you think he might be a real person, he might be an okay person for a moment. Like, it's just moments of him gathering information to use later to make it even worse. People. Right? It is brilliant. And the best part about it is that both arguments are perfectly sound, right? There is the argument that there is a line in how far you can push someone, and there's an argument that line is only there for the people who don't want to be pushed.
People who are weak.
People who are weak and won't ever make it to that point anyways. Right? It's an amazing argument. And the truth of the matter is this movie's changed from being just like one of those movies I love to watch because it's assholes being assholes, right? To a movie which is fantastic in its final scene when the music goes amazing, everything switches on its head, and it is just confirmation of everything you thought these people were looking for, not just in themselves, but in each other. Damn. And I love it.
Somehow, this movie allows both opposing sides to get revenge and then to be happy about it.
What?
It's perfect.
That is impossible.
It's perfect.
Koreans can't even do that.
This movie, this movie has the best smile that you don't see in 2014.
Yes, it is so good.
Music revenge, you say.
Yes, it is revenge where music is the weapon. It's so good. So my number two, right?
Is there a knife involved?
No.
You sure there isn't a knife involved? There probably is, you know, somewhere in the background.
Right. It was with the spell, right?
Yeah. So, my number two, and I know it's hard for me to say this,
mm-hmm.
but and a lot of people are probably going to say that I'm wrong.
Yeah, and turn off the podcast.
Exactly. Somehow, my number two manages to actually be a more beautiful film than my number four. This movie, and I have a feeling it's his number one, is more beautiful than the Grand Budapest Hotel in terms of the way that it looks.
Hmm.
Not possible, right? No,
exactly. Not possible.
Now, not only is it more beautiful, but it manages this without using a lick of color. This is in all black and white.
I know what movie this is. Alright, I'm going to retract what I said 10 seconds ago. Because I know what movie this is.
Yeah, you do. This movie, it's from Poland. It's about...
Yeah, it is.
It's about a little girl finding out that she's Jewish. It is Ida. And this movie is just... It's damn near perfect. It's all about kind of like character building, but not quite. It's more, it's an investigation. It's just great.
I don't expect that. my number two is also about the church.
Oh, nice. That's, yeah. Yeah. I was very sad that's not on my list.
Calvary is the movie that I would make if I made movies.
I'm interested that that's not your number one. Like,
that is all I will say about this movie. Whether people watch it or not, I don't care.
I'm going to murder you, Pastor. Because you're a good man.
Yeah, it is. If I made movies, this is 100% the movie that...
Yeah.
It is funny, it is political... It is about religion.
About this movie,
everything about this movie shouldn't work.
Let me tell you.
And it is perfect.
It's not perfect.
It is perfect.
There's one flaw in this movie, and it's the title. It should not be named Calvary. This movie should be named Fuck You. That's what this movie should be. Because that's all it is.
No, that's Breaking the Waves.
I love it. Number two.
That movie is The Devil Wins.
My numero dos.
The Devil Wins.
You won.
Yo, doesn't he always win though? Does the devil lose?
I think it's that the game never ends. So
right,
he keeps, even if he loses, he keeps saying it's not over. Yeah. It's just like one round.
Best 2 out of 3.
Yes. 5 out of 7.
Best 4 out of 7 devil?
No.
9 out of 10. 2 million out of 3 million.
9 out of 10.
So my number two is Gone Girl. We all love this movie. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's David Fincher.
Yes.
Which I don't think is there a year that we're allowed not to have a David Fincher on our movie?
On our list.
Not if he puts
on our list. On our
if
list.
He keeps putting, if he keeps making movies, they have to be.
He's
on
not
our
on
list.
My list.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually found it very interesting that when I looked at my top 10 list last week when I'd done it up, before Whiplash hit me, my top 4 were all female-led movies. Like, in a year where people kept talking about
Gamer. Women in movies. I decided my favorite movies were about women, which just kind of struck me as interesting.
What's also interesting is that there are certain people that have a big problem with that movie from that standpoint.
Yeah, it's a messed up movie, and I'm not listening to that argument because there is a lot in this movie that discusses that whole idea, and I find it fascinating. But at the end of the day, it's like this amazing pulp thriller that I just love, right? But before we get around to our number ones,
mm-hmm.
I want us to take a little break, and I want us to do what I dubbed in my email as our complimentary awards, yes. our consolation awards, yeah. Right? Because we did this a long time ago, where we actually, instead of doing a top list, we decided to do this in awards, right? We named out. But however, I wanted to do it differently this year. I wanted us to do it such that each of us come up with our own random awards, and we go around the table and we hand out the awards to the films that feel deserve it.
Right.
Douglas, you seem like you're
confused.
Ready to go.
I am far from ready, but I have something.
Okay.
Are we going to do this one by one, or are we going to go? Run through.
I don't
so,
have
Douglas, what are your consolations for the year?
I don't have very many.
Yes.
I have two consolations.
I have a lot.
I'm sure you do, because you...
Damon likes
thing,
jokes.
You did this thing called preparing,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Unfortunately,
that's
did not.
But when you
so,
get ready before time?
Yeah.
Was it the H kind of variety?
So, there are a bunch of people that did movies this year that,
yes.
that weren't on my top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame, yes. This award is for those people. And so I've dubbed this the award for the best Lars von Trier movie that wasn't in my top 10.
Right.
The nominees for this are Gone Girl,
mm-hmm.
directed by David Fincher.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy, directed by James Gunn,
mm-hmm.
and some other movie, I'm not sure. But the winner is Nymphomaniac.
Lars von Trier.
Lars von Trier.
Lars von Trier wins.
Yes, he does. and I'm so sad because Lars, ever since Antichrist, Lars has been on my radar. No, Lars has not been on my radar. Lars has been my radar,
right?
Right? And
he guides what you watch.
Exactly. And so if he releases a movie, I must watch it. This year something went wrong. I had not watched it up to actually this morning. So I had something to do earlier. I came back home and I barely had enough time to watch because it's a 4-hour movie.
That's if you're not watching DC.
Right. Actually, mm-hmm. it's a 5-hour movie so if it's a director's cut. It's,
I've seen
it's,
it, Lars,
it's,
because as, I'm a true fan.
Exactly.
And I like some fair weather fans beside me.
And trust me, I'm going to watch that one too. But I started watching it. I watched the first one, which is great. I'm now halfway through the second one, which is also great. But somehow this movie just is not top 10.
It is not his... He's not the most Lars with this one.
Douglas, the last 5 minutes kills the movie for me.
It sucks. I don't believe you.
Not for me.
Okay. Now, we have my second and my final award.
Yes.
Right? And this award I have dubbed the award for the best Terry Gilliam movie not directed by Terry Gilliam. The nominees are Gone Girl. Can you sense that I'm very sad that Gone Girl isn't on my list?
I can.
But the winner, really and truly, the winner is a movie that deserves to be on my top 10 list. A movie that probably isn't mainly because I watched it way too long ago and haven't rewatched it since. But I have a huge amount of affection for. Directed by a guy that I love from many, many places. One being a shitty, actually, no, just a great comedy. TV comedy. Richard Ayoade directed The Double. And that movie is the Brazil that Terry Gilliam wanted. It's Brazil meets Fight Club. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
My awards I've dubbed the most bestest awards. It will all become clear as you hear the awards. first award, the movie that is most Avatar, the most Avatar award. This goes to the movie that is technically excellent and everyone wants to win everything, but we'll forget in 1 year's time. The winner is Boyhood. The movie that is most Rambo. That is the movie that is most Rambo. Goes to John Wick. It did not go to the Raid because the movie that is most Raid is the Raid. Because the Raid didn't win most Rambo, I had to invent a new category. The most Raid movie is the Raid 2. The movie with the most tilde, that is Tilda Swinton, is not Only Lovers Left Alive. It is Snowpiercer, because she
has a shoe. Because be a shoe.
She was the most Tilda she could be in that movie. The movie that is the most Fountain.
So the worst movie of the year.
The movie that is about flying trees in space goes to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like, once you said it that way, I'm like, I know where it's going.
The movie that is the most Frozen, that is, has ice cubes in it, goes to 22 Jump Street. Best use of internet goes to Men, Women, and Children. Most use of internet goes to Nymphomania 1 and Nymphomania 2. The best animated movie is How to Train Your Dragon 2. The movie that is more shit goes to Winter's Tale. The best trailer of 2014 is The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1. Because it is an action movie trailer where nothing like that exists in the movie. And our final award, Best Summer Movie, goes to Godzilla. Because fucking Godzilla. Andrew Robinson.
So my awards, they vary from comedic to drama to musical. They go all over. And I have a few here. The movie that wins the best movie I'll show my future children from 2014 is The Lego Movie. Because, guys, the double couch. Right? The best sex-positive movie of 2014 is Nymphomaniac. The best musical moment in a non-musical movie goes to Top 5 as... Have you seen it yet? As we are in a prison cell allowed to a rendition of a special song.
Yes.
The best Philippe Petit award being a character in a documentary who just grabs you and keeps you there goes to Jodorowsky's Dune. You saw it. I love that movie. Yeah. Jodorowsky, like, he's like, I don't want to watch his movies. I haven't seen any of them, but I don't want to watch those movies.
When I was looking up top tens, everybody's like, you have to see this.
Yeah.
So I saw it.
I remember that I was playing in TIFF when we went. And I was like, that could be interesting. But
I saw Dune in the title and ran away.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but everybody was just raving about it. So I was like, maybe I should try and switch schedules.
The best sword fight comes from They Came Together.
Fair enough.
2014.
You're an idiot.
The best final shot that I hate because it's awesome and the movie it's in sucks goes to The Immigrant by James Gray.
That movie should have been better. Have you seen it?
No.
But the final shot of that movie, it's just so good. Like, when I just look at a picture, I'm like, that's a good movie. Mm-hmm. But it's not. And my final award, I dedicate this to a film critic online who I love, his writing, and I like all the work he does. He has the right kind of tone when he's talking about movies. He's a host on Fighting in the War Room. He writes for The Dissolve. He also does a yearly top 25 video that everyone links to, and he did one this year. It's kind of great. David Ehrlich. And this award goes to Godzilla for being
the best post-human movie of 2014.
God, I love Godzilla. So hard. Alright, those were our awards.
Our consolation awards for 2014.
Now it is time for number ones. DJR.
Yes, lost sir.
At DJR lost his name.
Okay, so this generally doesn't happen to me, right? Mm-hmm. Usually, and this tends to happen real early in the year because I get real surprised and I feel like maybe I'll forget the movie and then I don't because it has this impact upon me. And I know what my number one movie is from early on. It never happened this year. Until, like, just last week. I watched a movie, and there's no way this is the best movie of the year. And it's not Birdman, unfortunately. But Birdman does remind me very much of this movie, because, again, the soundtrack is very percussive. So as I was watching Birdman, all I could think of is, I really want to watch Whiplash again.
Not on my time. You can just imagine Inarritu on the in the background shouting, "Not on my time."
Damien, Whiplash. Have you watched Whiplash? You need to watch Whiplash. Whiplash is.
It is not in.
Yes, it is.
The proper form.
Yes, it is.
Not for me. It is.
Whiplash is the greatest. Damien, this movie, it's perfect. It's a movie you get to watch an asshole being not just an asshole. This is a very particular like breed of their Damien. This person does things that
human beings shouldn't be allowed to do.
Damien, you will aspire. Oh. You will aspire to be this bad.
Damien, and after
I'm really bad.
After
you guys don't work with me, so you don't know.
He's so bad, right? He's actively bad at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then in the middle of the movie, he becomes conniving.
I like conniving.
And deceitful. And it gets better.
Uh-huh.
So
you love
that guy alone, J.K. Simmons, great, right? Then you have Miles Teller. I have a bit of a soft spot for Teller.
Spectacular Now.
I like him in a bunch of movies. Spectacular Now, not so much.
I just keep saying it because he's one movie.
I know, yeah. Talking. But even something as dumb as awkward 21 moment. And Over,
yeah.
Or The Awkward Moment. Yeah. Those movies aren't special, but I really like them, probably because Miles Teller is in it. And in this movie, again, he's great because you see him kind of develop, right? And he develops from, I guess, you know, the wide-eyed, you know, boy who doesn't know anything but has a dream to this real focused person who has decided, I want to be J.K. Simmons. I will be that asshole. To then this depressed, he's all over, and it's great. And just the content of the movie and the type of shenanigans that occur, and Damien,
you love it.
Fuck it, I'm going downstairs to watch it now. Later, guys.
That's fine. Kind of think Andrew should go. No, because my number one,
all right,
is like Douglas.
The podcast is going to end,
right?
Is what
Douglas
you're
is going to hit right. me and stab me probably in the neck when he hears.
So Douglas had it right. My number one is Idol.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the prettiest movie of the year. It is the most interesting. It is like
the best use of color.
of this year. It's a movie that like, and I do this all the while when I'm talking about these movies, right? It goes past just being pretty. It goes past just being an engaging story about this girl discovering herself and her history. It goes past all of these things to almost use visual storytelling. Like, you literally, I think the director probably has in his house a cut of this movie where he takes out all the dialogue, and it's almost a better movie just because of the way it's put together. I love it.
Okay, so for those of you out there listening, I just want to describe a scenario to you. A scene.
I'm not sure if David is prepping himself to run away as we try
so,
to break
so
myself.
That's what I'm going to take, right? The way I'm
going to
take it, because Damien just got up from his seat, and he did some stretches, and he's doing a couple push-ups, and he's kind of getting himself limber, right? And my take is that
that's rule 23 of the
getting
man
ready,
exactly,
that,
right?
Yeah.
Limber up.
Exactly. He's getting ready to run if we don't like this movie. No, what he doesn't realize is that I'm about to push my chair back a little bit so that it will block the door and we will beat him into unconsciousness.
Just
so Damien,
don't yes. use the mics, guys.
Tell us what your number one is.
Alright. This movie became my number one during Christmas. I realized that this movie had to be my number one. Not because it is the best movie of the year. Because the best movie of the year for me is Calvary. Calvary cannot win because of the achievement that this movie made. When this movie got announced, it didn't even enter into my mind that this movie could be good. During Christmas, when I told both adults and small children that I had this movie and they could watch it, everyone looked at me like I'd lost my goddamn mind. This movie has no right to be good, A, or to be this good, B. The movie that has to win, and if we were doing overall top 10s, this movie, I would kill all of you and ensure that this movie is the number one movie, is the Lego Movie.
Wow.
When I told people, hey, I have the Lego Movie, children looked at me and went, you mean a movie about fucking Legos? Even children. And when it was only... after enough people shut me down, because they were there for a couple of days, and enough people shut me down that I literally took over the TV thing and I said, we are watching, during dinner, watching the Lego Movie. And everyone was, no, I don't want to watch a movie about fucking Legos. And it was only when everyone was up in arms and arguing, I remember, wait a second, David. They're not wrong. They're doing exactly the same thing you did. You just don't have the Lego Movie as your pointer. They don't know, they haven't seen the Lego Movie, so they don't have a fucking clue what you're talking about. As far as they're concerned, they've heard two pieces of information and they do not want to see any of it. They've heard Legos and they've heard movie. When the movie got announced, I remember talking to Joel, and me and him laughed, like we laughed endlessly. We're like, all right, I guess we can just make movies about anything now. This is the tea leaf movie. Like, you can just start making up shit, cause who gives a shit anymore? I picked this movie in March, kind of out of desperation. I just wanted to grab it because I felt it was going to make some money whenever it came out. And even when the movie came out and made a lot of money, I still went, well, the Smurfs one made a lot of money. I still don't think I'm going to want to watch this. Andrew came back and she's like, that movie is okay. And even when the whole internet went,
I quite like that
this
movie
is okay, I went, what you've just said is impossible. There's no way a movie about fucking Legos can be good. I sat about 13 people down and we watched the Lego Movie, and there was not a single person that remembered that an hour and a half before it was the thing that they'd have rather died than seen. This movie, I've seen it three times. Every single time, this movie gets a little bit better. There's pretty colors for the children, but then for adults, there are so many goddamn jokes, both movie jokes and comic book specific jokes. It is just littered throughout the place. When I told one of the people that was staying with me that Liam Neeson was the bad police guy, he's like, there's no way that everything about the Kraggle thing,
oh, it's so good.
And like, third act turn.
The end portion when you realize, oh, this might, like, it exists all in this chat. Every decision. This movie should have been The Smurfs 2. That should have been as good as a movie about Legos.
I'm could sorry, be. This movie wasn't The Smurfs 2?
This movie is... Like, it is... It is better than How to Train Your Dragon 2. And that, like, at the start of the year, no one could have told me that this movie would have been good. No one could have told me that this movie would have been the best animated movie for the year. That would have been impossible. Right? And I saw people, I got to stare at people, have that reaction 1 hour and a half before everything about what they thought about Legos. There was a little girl that said she wanted Legos for her birthday after this movie ended. That is how good this movie is. This movie is a better achievement than Boyhood. It is truly spectacular that they were able to do this. And I don't want them to make any more. I know they're going to run it into the ground, because of course they are. But I'm hoping that they don't. Because there's no way. Douglas, remember when they told you that there was a movie about Legos coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Were you excited?
No.
No one
was. I was excited when they said Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Yeah. But even then. Right. Even then you went, remember this movie's still about fucking Legos. Children. Even small children that I thought, the adults, fine. Because no adult wants to watch a movie about Legos. Children looked at me and went, I don't want to watch a movie about Legos. Small children said, fuck no. Essentially. Right? And I had to, like, even when the movie started and the guy was jumping up and down, everyone was essentially, like, I was sitting there just watching everybody look at me like, This is what I'm supposed to sit down and watch. 5 minutes later, when that Everything is Awesome song hit, everybody was just, alright, I can see where this... And then, by the time you realize that even the movie, there was a Lego, apart from the first town, there was the Old West town, when that horse... Like, someone threw a horse at the guy, and the horse was kind of landed sideways. Oh my gosh, that's right. Everyone was in stitches. And it is, like, there's just no way. By the time Batman hit, everyone was already so much on board. It didn't even matter that there was a Batman in the movie. Double-decker coach, everything, all the jokes that were in that movie hit.
There was Batman one, song. There was one joke in that movie, and it involved a spaceship. Okay, that was the only good joke.
There is the Batman song, which is fantastic. Only darkness.
Yes.
There is the
everything.
There's the tiny moment of Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill playing the characters of Superman and Green Lantern, where Green Lantern is just like Superman, and it's just too funny.
Listen,
the color town, whatever they call it, the crazy town with the pony and the glitter and shit. Right, that is amazing. Damien, I love this movie, and that was one of the movies which I was most angry. I couldn't fit into my list of any kind.
Everything about this movie does not deserve to be. This movie's about fucking Legos.
But that's the point, Damien, and that's what I keep telling people about all these things. First of all, it's not about Legos. That's why it's that good, right?
Andrew, yes, but there's... The name, the title
right.
of the
it's,
movie says.
They hired two ridiculously creative people, allowed them to make a movie about real things,
and
told them make
them
into Legos. Right?
But
and
they still had but they still had Lego specific jokes. That is the thing that when they tore up the road to make that super bike thing, and then the bike blew up and they made it into a plane and flew off. All the children jumped from out of their seats and was lined up in front of the TV because no one wanted to eat anything anymore. Lego was the only thing that mattered to them. And until that movie was finished, no one even remembered that, there was no thanks, there was no anything. Everybody just assumed, of course the Lego movie was awesome. That is how good that movie is. And that is why that movie has to be number one. That is why I put it at number one. I know. I've explained myself for it. Plus, I have a sharp object in my hand.
Is that what you call sharp?
Sharp enough to cut you. When you like to find out. I've been playing a lot of Shadow of Mordor.
He only has a little stuff.
Damon, you'll turn your back one day.
Mm-hmm. And you'll do what? Fall asleep.
He'll JK Simmons you.
Yeah.
Lego
is number one.
Oh, you need to watch Whiplash though. So that's so good.
Oh, it's on The Guest.
Yeah, those are my watch The Guest too. Yeah, I love that movie.
So that's the end of 2014, guys. We're putting it away. Don't need to talk about 2014 anymore.
Oh, God.
And we can look forward to all of the Back to the Future Part 2 jokes of 2015.
Nike announced self-lacing shoes.
Yes, they did. It's coming out.
They think they're funny. But it's 2015. Guess what, Nike? The self-lacing shoes wasn't the thing people were excited about. In that movie, there was fucking hoverboards. That is what. If you're going to sell it with the hoverboard, then we're good.
and really, those two things are accessories for the flying car.
Right.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Let's do this.
If we're going to focus on the thing people loved about those movies, your thing is incidental.
I thought it was like the Cubs won the World Series.
That's never going to happen.
I thought that was what everyone was looking forward to.
That would be real funny if that happened.
Let's be serious.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and good night. Stench of cigarettes and stereo. I love you all. Prodigal son waits to return to where the dogs play pool.